Welcome to the SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. We're talking today with Dr. David Maines, the executive director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. Storytelling is an important part of developing effective sermons. A wise pastor draws on resources that God has provided through the members of a pastor's congregation. In today's podcast, we will present the first of four dramas that tell the story of the life of Hezekiah from the book of Isaiah. David, let me turn our Sermon Coach microphone over to you.
Have you read the Old Testament book of Hezekiah lately? Hi. I'm David Maines, and granted no book of the Bible bears that specific title, but chapters 36 through 39 of Isaiah are an extended account of King Hezekiah's life. Right now, you're about to hear the first of four dramatic presentations that were presented in the Chapel of the Air to tell his story. This session will draw upon Isaiah 7 and 8 to get a feel of Hezekiah's boyhood, during which time wicked Ahaz, his father, was king. As we begin, Isaiah, played by Ted Seeley, is arriving to teach two special students.
Are you ready for your lesson, boys?
Yes, Isaiah.
Yes, Father.
Good. Today's session should be interesting, especially for you, Prince Hezekiah. We will talk about your great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, King David.
He must have been very great.
He was, my prince. Under his rule, the United Kingdom of Israel conquered the Philistines and began to stretch its borders. Sher-Jashub, are you listening to me?
Yes, Father. I heard every word.
You may have heard, Jash, but you weren't listening. Now pay attention, both of you. This is very important. Forget everything else I've taught you, but remember this one thing. Do not just hear the word of the Lord. Learn it. Understand it. Obey it. Have you got that?
Yes, sir.
Father. I'm sorry.
That's fine, my son. Now let's talk about King David. Do you know what he was when he was your age?
Was he a prince like me?
No, Hezekiah. He was a shepherd boy. His father was named Jesse, and he had seven brothers, and they all lived in Bethlehem. One day, the prophet Samuel came to Jesse and said, "One of your sons will be the next king of Israel. The Lord has sent me to anoint him."
Anoint him? What's that?
That's when a prophet of God pours oil over someone's head as a sign that the Spirit of the Lord is upon him to do a mighty task.
And Samuel anointed David, right?
Yes, but you're getting ahead of the story. Jesse brought his oldest son before the prophet. Now, he was big and strong. But the Lord said to Samuel, not this one.
And then he anointed David, right?
Not yet. Then Jesse brought his second son. Now, he was smart. Very clever. But the Lord said, no, not this one.
He had to wait for David.
Yes, but he didn't even know David at the time. Well, to make my nice, long, suspenseful story short, Samuel went through all seven brothers and still didn't find the right one. So he said to Jesse, do you have any other sons?
David!
How did you guess?
So Samuel anointed David, and he became a great king.
A great, 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 great king.
We have enough water in the aqueduct to last the city 90 days, King Ahaz, maybe 100.
That's not nearly enough. We need twice that much. Are all the pools of the city full?
Not yet, sir. We haven't had much rain yet.
Fill them.
Yes, King Ahaz.
Hey, Dad. Can we fortify any more of the water sources outside the city?
Not without depriving the city of crucial defense.
And so we deprive the city of crucial water.
My king, I advise that we go out to meet them. Hit them before they hit us.
We tried that last week, General. 120,000 of our men are dead. Their wives and children are captives.
Those weren't our best troops. The men we have here could win in the open field.
There is no open field. We are surrounded. Our only hope is in someone much larger than we are. Assyria. I have made initial contact with King Tiglath-Pileser. He sounds very willing to come to our aid if we ask.
Then ask. What are we waiting for?
King Ahaz.
Oh, no. There's the prophet.
I'll detain him if you wish, sir.
No, let him speak.
Yes, my king.
King Ahaz.
What is it, Isaiah?
The Lord told me I'd find you here. He told me to bring my son. I believe you've met Sher Jashub, my firstborn.
Good morning, Your Majesty.
What is it, Isaiah? I have better things to do than banter with children.
Children are the hope of the future, my king.
What is your message, Isaiah? Do you have a message from your lord?
My son is the message, sir. His name is Sher Jashub. It means a remnant will return. There is hope, King Ahaz.
Hope? How can there be?
The Lord knows the troubles of Judah, sir, better than you do. He knows that Rezin, king of Damascus, and Pekah, king of Israel, are at this moment encamped at our northern border, ready to march toward Jerusalem. He knows that the Edomites have rebelled against our rule, and the Philistines are raiding Judean towns. He knows the 120,000 soldiers now resting in Abraham's arms, and the many wives and children now captive in Samaria. The Lord knows about your water supply, King Ahaz. And he says, be careful. Be calm. Don't be afraid.
Isaiah, you have always told me precisely what I haven't wanted to hear until today. Why is it that now, the only time you have ever brought me good news, I don't believe you?
The Lord's message to you, the king, is this. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be filled with dread. The Lord Almighty, the Holy One, he is the one you should fear. He is the one to dread. Obey the Lord, and he will give you life. Tear down the idols you have brought into this country. Worship the Lord alone. That is how you will appease the Lord's wrath. He will deal with the wrath of Rezin and Pekah. If you are willing and obedient, the Lord says, you will eat the best from the land. But if you resist and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. What will it be, Ahaz? Deliverance or destruction? If you trust the Lord, he will help you. Mighty Assyria could be threatening your borders, and the Lord could slap it down like a fly.
You must really think me incompetent. But if we win this one, we'll be in great position. We can stand up to anyone.
If you do not stand by faith, you will not stand at all. The Lord says, ask me for a sign. I will give you a sign to prove I can deliver you.
I have other matters to see to before the siege. Are you through?
You have not asked for a sign, but I stand before you with my son, Sher Jashub. A remnant will return. A prophet and a promise. We ourselves are signs and symbols from the Lord Almighty.
I beg your pardon, King Ahaz. There is an urgent message for you from Jericho.
I will leave you. Come on, Jash.
Let me hear the message, Tobias.
The captives taken last week by Pekah's troops have been returned to our city of Jericho, along with the plunder taken from our border cities. Our enemies to the north have reclothed the captives and fed them and brought them back safe and healthy.
That's incredible. Who's the message from?
The elders of Jericho. It is sealed properly. It seems authentic.
But why, Tobias? Why would this happen?
I don't know, my king. It's a miracle.
There must be some kind of trick. Come on now. Let's continue our preparations for the siege.
Strengthen your walls, O walled city, for a siege is laid against us. They will strike Israel's ruler on the cheek with a rod.
But you, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though you are small among the families of Judah,
out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel,
whose origins are from of old, from ancient times.
Welcome, Isaiah. Even you cannot cause me grief today. The siege has been broken. Our attackers have gone home. It was like magic. I asked the great Assyria for help, Tiglath-Pileser sent a threatening word to the enemy surrounding us. We launched an attack from the walls at an opportune moment, and our besiegers went scurrying away. We are safe. So, Isaiah, what do you have to tell me today?
You have done wrong. The Lord offered to deliver you, but you turned to Assyria.
Tobias, make a note for me to burn incense when I visit the temple today.
Your incense is a stench in God's nostrils. He has no pleasure in the blood of your bulls and lambs and goats. You have made the city a harlot. You are selling our souls to Tiglath-Pileser in exchange for a year or two of safety. You have not obeyed the Lord. You have not trusted him. You have not asked him for a sign. But the Lord himself will give you a sign. A young woman will conceive and bear a son. He will be called God Be With Us. Before the boy is old enough to know right from wrong, Rezin and Pekah will be destroyed, and your own kingdom will be in danger. The Lord will use the king of Assyria like a razor and shave the hair from your head and legs and beard. Tiglath-Pileser will shave away Damascus and Israel and the Philistines. You'll be left all alone, bald as a baby. Maybe then you will cry out, God be with us. The Lord has spoken.
Isaiah.
Yes, my prince.
I heard what you said to my father. You spoke well.
Thank you, Hezekiah.
The child that will be born, will that be your child?
I think so, my prince. But the promise is far greater than I understand.
The promise? That sounded like a threat.
Oh, Hezekiah, a threat is just an inside-out promise. The Lord promises that a child will be born. This child will carry the government on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Advisor.
Like you, Isaiah?
I'm afraid your father doesn't consider me a wonderful advisor just now.
But I do, Isaiah. You tell the truth. What else will this child be called?
The Mighty God.
Like the Lord himself?
Yes, Hezekiah. And he will be called Everlasting Father.
Like my father?
Everlasting, my boy. Even your father will die someday. And if he does not repent soon, it will be sooner than he wishes. But this father will live forever.
And what else will he be called?
Another. I've given you three names already.
We need four. I command it.
Very well. The Prince of Peace.
Prince of Peace? Like me, Isaiah?
Yes, Hezekiah. I hope so. Just like you.
Through this dramatic series, the prophet will continually stress the need to rely exclusively on the Lord. He alone is worthy of our trust. To Ahaz, Isaiah's challenge is foolhardy. To depend upon what he could see and feel and listen to had more appeal than faith in the unknown. With which of the two do your actions more closely coincide?
Thank you, David, for sharing this dramatic presentation with our SermonCoach.com podcast listeners. As we continue through this series on the Book of Isaiah in future SermonCoach.com podcasts, we hope that this series will spark some creative ideas of your own. As always, we thank you for joining us for this time together. You've found this SermonCoach.com podcast at our website, SermonCoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We invite you to browse through the rest of our website. We have resources there to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. And we invite you to join us for our next SermonCoach.com podcast.